Hello, this is the Bible in Fewer Words. We are Carol and Steve Wells. This is episode 240, Matthew chapter 13. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Carol.
I see only one chapter again.
Yeah, that's because there's a lot of parables and we got to get through them. But once we do, then we won't repeat them when they're repeated in the other gospels.
Okay, do all gospels have parables?
John doesn't have any parables, but Luke and Mark repeat many of the same parables we're going to cover in this episode, and when they do, we'll just leave them out.
Okay, great. So let's get going.
Okay.
Chapter 13. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. A large crowd gathered to see him, so he sat in a boat, leaving the crowd on the shore. So I guess that was his stage.
We will see large crowds here that are following him in Galilee. This is the Sea of Galilee where they are now.
Yeah.
And he's going out in a boat there because there's so many people, which is a strange thing because Galilee is very sparsely populated. So it would be hard to get large crowds to follow anyone. But apparently there are large crowds. So there was too many people. So he just got in this boat so he could talk to them in the boat. Put a little space between him and the people, I guess.
Uh-huh. So they came from elsewhere, you think?
I guess.
You know how some people travel far to go to a concert?
I guess it was like that. Yeah, he's kind of a rock star.
Yeah.
He
said many things to the crowd, such as this parable.
A sower sowed some seeds that fell by the wayside, and the birds ate them up. Some seeds fell on rocky soil, were burnt by the sun, and withered away because they had no roots.
Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell onto good soil, producing 160 or 30 times as much seed as was scattered. If you have ears, hear.
I think this is our first real parable.
What are parables for?
He's going to explain that in this episode.
Oh, okay.
Let's go on.
Okay.
Verse 10. The disciples came to Jesus and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?"
And Jesus answered, "Because you've been given the power to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it isn't given."
His selected group here, the 11, 12 that are following him.
Yeah.
God's given them the power to understand these things.
Verse 12, "Whoever has will be given even more. Whoever has little will have even that taken away."
Yeah, so if you have a lot, then you're going to be given a lot. And if you have little, even what little you have will be taken away.
13. "I speak to them in parables so they won't see, hear, or understand what I say." Does that make sense, Steve?
Yes, it does. He's speaking to them in parables to confuse them so they won't understand what he's saying. And this is something that he says not just here. He repeats this in all three of the Synoptic Gospels.
Why would God do that?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea. The reason that it's in here, though, is because the gospel writers are trying to find ways that Jesus is fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. And you'll see in the next verse.
"This is to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'You will hear, but not understand, and see, but not perceive.'"
Yeah, that's from Isaiah.
I remember that. Thinking, why would you do that?
Right. That's a prophecy from Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But what Matthew is trying to show that Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. And since Isaiah says that people are going to hear but not understand, see but not see, and all that, that's being fulfilled right here before their eyes by Jesus. Yeah. So he's speaking in prophecy so people won't understand to fulfill the prophecy that said that they wouldn't understand in Isaiah.
Well, that's crazy talk.
Of course.
Okay. That's as long as we're clear on that.
He goes on to say, "These people have had their hearts, ears, and eyes closed to make sure they'll never see, hear, or understand. So they won't be converted, and I won't heal them."
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, a lot of trouble to go through. You know, he's coming here. He's going to be telling all these parables.
To save them.
He's trying to save people, I guess. But then he's saying the parables for the exact opposite reason, so they won't understand, so they won't be converted, and so he won't heal them.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So, verse 18. So here's what the parable of the sower means. Oh, good. The one who receives the seed in stony places hears the word and receives it with joy, but he didn't have roots. So when trouble and persecution comes, he is offended. The one who received the seed in the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pursuit of wealth choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed in good ground hears the word, understands it, and produces 100, 60, or 30 times as much seed as was scattered.
So that's clear enough. Okay, so Jesus told him another parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed some good seed in his field. But while everyone slept, his enemy sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away."
So when the crop began to grow, weeds grew along with the crop. The servant said to him, "Didn't you sow good seed in the field? If so, why are there weeds?"
The farmer said, "An enemy has done this." His servant said, "Should we remove the weeds?" He said, "No, you might destroy the wheat with the weeds. Let them grow together until harvest time. I'll tell the reapers to pull the weeds first and burn them, then gather the wheat and put it into my barn."
That's kind of a lot of trouble to go through.
Yeah, it doesn't work so well. That's what I do with our garden. But notice what he's going to do with the weeds.
He's going to let them grow.
Yeah, well, when he's all done, what's he going to do after he pulls up the weeds?
He's going to burn them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the wheat he's going to put into his barn. So he's going to explain this later.
Oh, he's going to burn the people who are bad.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, jeez.
But one thing I want to point out here about this parable is his worker said, "Hey, didn't you sow good seed? Where'd all these weeds come from?" Mm-hmm. And he said,
"The enemy's planted them.
An enemy has done this." That's Satan, right?
Oh.
That's the devil. How some apologists use this parable and mm-hmm. that idea that an enemy has done this is to explain, where does all the evil come from in the world?
From Jesus. From God.
No. An enemy has done this.
So the devil.
Yes.
But who allows the devil to do that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm not saying it works.
Okay.
I'm just saying that's what's done.
Okay.
An enemy has done this, from the parable of the weeds and the wheat here, mm-hmm. is often used by apologists to explain the evil in the world.
Okay.
Where did the evil in the world come from? It didn't come from God. It came from Satan. An enemy has done this.
Mm. That darn devil.
If you believe that God created the world, then one of the big problems is, where did all of this evil come from? Where did the brutality of nature come from?
I guess the devil.
Yes, an enemy has done this. Everything that you see that is...
awful.
Yeah. is because of that. Anyway.
Verse 31. Jesus told another parable saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man sowed in his field. The mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes a tree large enough for birds to nest in." It does?
No. There's a couple biological problems with this. First of all, mustard seeds, they're small, but they're not the smallest seeds. Orchid seeds are the smallest seeds.
Okay.
And secondly, in the mustard family, there are no trees. They're all herbaceous plants. And so you might get a big bush, maybe, mm-hmm. but you're not going to get a tree.
No.
So.
Verse 36, Jesus sent the crowd away and went into his house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain the parable of the weeds to us." Verse 37, Jesus said, "The sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom. And the weeds are the children of the devil. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels." Boy, he really thought this through. "Just as the weeds are burned in the fire, so shall the children of the devil be burned at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, who gather all the evil people and cast them into a furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Okay.
Yeah.
That all makes sense to me now.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, another parable. Three little parables here coming up. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field. When someone finds it, he sells all that he owns and buys the field.
The kingdom of heaven is like a man seeking pearls. When he finds the pearl of great price, he sells all that he has to buy it.
Yeah, where have you heard the pearl of great price before?
It's one of the books that the Mormon Church has.
That's right. That's part of Mormon scripture.
Mm-hmm. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that is cast into the sea and caught every kind of fish. When it was full, they brought it to shore and put the good fish in vessels, but threw the bad fish away.
That's how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will separate the wicked from the just and cast the wicked into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, this is a nice little story.
Yeah.
Verse 53. When Jesus was finished with his parables, he came to his homeland of Nazareth. He taught in the synagogue, and they were astonished at his wisdom and said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty works?"
"Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't his sisters with us?"
And they were offended by him. Jesus said, "A prophet has honor except in his own country and house." And he didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
So there's a lot of things going on here. Jesus has four brothers and he has several sisters because his sisters are there as well. So he comes from a big family.
And it turns out he does have a mother called Mary.
Has a mother called Mary, that's true.
Even though he says, "I don't really care about her."
Well, not only that, but Jesus says a prophet is accepted everywhere except in his own hometown and in his own house.
Mm-hmm.
His own house. So what that is saying, I think, is that he's not being accepted by his own family.
Yes.
His own hometown and his own house.
But you know the way he behaved last time? I might not accept him either. He was just ignoring Mary and his brothers. I don't care about them. Disciples, you're my family now.
Yeah, he comes from, looks like kind of a dysfunctional family, right?
Uh-huh. He who inherits the wind.
Yeah, he troubles his own house. Inherits the wind.
Yeah, I think when he said, "Who's my mother? Who are my brothers?" I think he troubled his own house there.
Well, I think so. Yeah. It's fairly clear here that things aren't going well for him.
At home.
both in his hometown and even in his own household. His own family. And that's how it ends, chapter 13.
Yes. And that's how we're going to end it today, folks.
Yep.
Thanks for staying with us. And you're moving along in the Bible. I want to keep encouraging you to stick with us, and pretty soon you'll be through with the Bible.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping us get through this Bible, Steve.
Oh, sure.
And listeners, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.